Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 25th, 249th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, hey, it's not interim anymore.
It's not.
I see you use a little whiteout on your badge there.
Yes.
It's looking good. Area commander for the California Highway Patrol Swamp Division, Brett Fabry. Good morning, sir, and congratulations on the formal.
Thank you.
It is an upgrade, right?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, some people like Red Crest and Redway and Garberville and Benbow.
I actually loved it down there, but a promotion is good. And
but that, not as much,
and
huh?
And that position comes up here to Arcata.
Good. Now we just got to drive a spike through the floor for you so you don't decide to get a stupid idea.
I don't have any plans to go anywhere. Good. This is home for me.
I know everybody said, well, Jaeger, what, he lasted, what, 2 years and then just disappeared?
Three, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, this is home for me. You know, I went to Arcata High School, so this is...
I know, we keep that in mind with all these questions so I can talk a little bit slower for you.
I know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he says Eureka Arcata's dead. Our quote this morning comes from... Oh, let's see. There's source on... No, we'll go Julie Duncan. Life is a rock and a hard place. oh my. So back to school?
Yes, back to school.
Is it almost like an annual rite of passage for you guys also? I mean, you know, moms and dads certainly, the students certainly, but you guys kind of do a little something, you know, you get out the speed trailers and kind of repositioned around the schools a little bit early. And is it as well looked forward to for you guys?
Yeah, we do.
As it is for regular people?
Yeah, we do. We look forward to, you know, the kids going back to school. You know, we want to be out there and be visible. We want to make sure that, you know, the kids are safe around the schools. You know, the first couple weeks are a little hectic because everybody wants to, you know, drive their kids to school the first few days. So we want to make sure that we're out there and being visible and, you know, out talking to parents, shaking hands.
Now, there are more schools than there are people on your staff.
Oh, yes.
So how do you determine which ones, what time, how long, those types of things?
Well, you know, we have beat units out there, and so we ask that they go to the schools that are, you know, not in city limits because those are handled by the police departments, but out in the county areas is that they, you know, try to be visible at least one or two schools, and that's not necessarily just in the morning but also in the afternoon as well. So they try to break up their time.
Is that easy to do? I mean, I would think if you're out buzzing around on the highway looking for things.
If they're not busy, it can be easy to hit those spots. But, you know, we have a lot of responsibilities, so it's difficult. I'll be out there, too. You'll see me out there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Dressed?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. those trailers do seem to work, though, the speed sign things.
Yes, they do, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, the cars of today ride so smooth and are so quiet that sometimes you don't realize how fast you're traveling, and you might see that radar trailer, just like in the corridor, and you might realize is that, wow, I didn't realize I was kind of going that fast.
Yeah, particularly through a school zone, I don't think. Only the stupid?
Yeah, 25 miles an hour, and, you know, still 25 miles an hour can be moving right along, so we just ask you to be very careful.
Yeah, if there are any surprises.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry from the California Highway Patrol. Brett, back to school also means traffic changes, as you'd mentioned, different different amounts, different times, different locations, all that kind of stuff. One of the things that's always been intriguing to me is the concept of road rage or driver frustration or that kind of stuff. And I think we all are sympathetic to the guy or gal gets mad at the stupid driver. Okay. But it's going to take me an extra 5 minutes to get through because now all the parents are dropping their kids off. Why they drop their kids. That one is kind of goofy. Do you look for signs of road rage or of frustration, not at the school, but maybe two or three blocks away from it?
Oh, yeah. You can tell, when drivers get frustrated, especially, you're following a school bus to the school and, it's making some stops and it's, stopping traffic and somebody's in a hurry. And, we want to stress to people that, those red lights on that bus are for a reason. It's not necessarily that they're going to cross students in front of the bus. A lot of times, they're dropping students off. And that's a very professional group, the group of school bus drivers. And you can tell when people are getting frustrated. And, we continue to remind people, it's like, give yourself a couple minutes. You know that school is starting. You know that there's going to be more people around those neighborhoods where schools are. So pick a different route if you don't want to be slowed up by all the school traffic.
Just for clarity, the red lights on the school bus.
Yes.
The sign that pops out.
Yes.
On the school bus. Two different things, or are they the same?
They're the same, yeah. So when the red lights come on, the stop sign comes out, you're required to stop in both directions. So whether you're coming up from behind the bus or you're coming toward the bus, you're required to stop. And then you are required to stay stopped until the red lights stop and the stop sign goes in. And we still tell you to, be very cautious. Little kids, might make a run for it. We hope not. But, just be very cautious around the school bus because, we're talking about kids.
Are all school bus stops clearly delineated?
They identify those stops that they want to have. And if they're odd, we have to approve some of those, but most of them are all approved, and they find good locations. They don't stop in locations that they shouldn't or that could be a hazard or unsafe.
Well, I was thinking more for the drivers, like today or over the weekends, they could see where the school bus is going to be stopping by some of these signs.
Yes.
That's, yeah, not whether or not it's the sheltered Taj Mahal or it's the spot that has a post with a school bus stop right on it. Do school buses have to pull over at all, or do they just stop in the lane?
Depends on the kind of stop. Yeah, so sometimes if they have a place to pull over, and those are the stops that they're looking for, where they want to stop. Those spots are identified, and most of the time they try not to stop in the road if they don't have to. But there are times that is going to happen. But we approve all those. We approve all the school bus drivers. They go through all their testing through us.
Through you guys, not through DMV?
Well, they have a portion of theirs is through us, and then a portion is through DMV.
What part do you do?
We do drive tests. We also issue driver's license certificates for school bus drivers, and then their passenger endorsement they get from DMV. But they have to have all those things in order to drive a school bus for a school district.
So that's a special designation beyond what the class 2, 3, 4, whatever it is.
Yes.
There has to be like an endorsement, a CSP endorsement.
And they're a professional group of people. I mean, they're unbelievable. The amount of training that they go through to be a school bus driver, and then we put them through a test as well. And I just gave out 16 driver awards to drivers here in Humboldt County who drove 5 years without a single accident. And, if you figure the math, that's about 100,000 miles that they could be driving in a school bus each year. And, 16 of them were not involved in any kind of an incident. And for us, a scratch on the bus, you catch the corner or something, that's a crash. And we take that.
That's what I was saying. It's a different designation when you're hauling kids than it is other.
It's extremely important, but they're a very professional group. I'm very impressed with the school bus drivers that we have. I got to meet a lot of them last week.
I'm amazed at how they can move those vehicles.
I am too.
Without coming across the center lines and doing some of the stuff that you or me in a regular standard size car.
Yeah.
Sometimes have a little bit of
They spend
issue.
A lot of time practicing behind the wheel.
Is that a requirement?
Yes. Yeah, they have behind the wheel training, and then they have a drive test with us on the bus.
Oh, that's got to be more exciting than it was at 16, huh?
Yes, it is.
You have one passenger. He has a gun. He can ruin your career. Let's go for a drive.
Yes, especially because they put a lot of effort into that, and if they don't pass our drive test, then they got to go back and practice some more, and then come back and try it again. So yeah, it's not easy.
So what would be the biggest thing if there were two passengers on the bus, and we were watching? What would be the thing that we would be most surprised about?
You'd be surprised at how, like you said, how well they can maneuver that bus. When you look at, for instance, Arcata, with the amount of roundabouts and, some narrow streets and some, slight movement of the lines, is that they do a very good job of keeping it right within the lines, and they do a great job.
Do buses have to be able to back up?
Yes.
That would be a bit of a trick.
That is tricky, yes.
Because these things are kind of long.
Yes. They don't move like your car.
No. I hope not. Cars in trouble then. So you guys you've got your checklist, and you just measure them up against it, and
yep,
good to go, and new school year.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Brett.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabrique, Area Commander from the California Highway Patrol, out of the Arcata office. Brett, there's an awful lot of attention being focused on legalization of marijuana in our area.
Prop 64.
What a stunner. You even knew the number. And many are referring to adjacent states, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. Okay, my geography is not that bad. I realize Colorado's not an adjacent state to California. pointing to them and saying, no harm, no change, no doomsday. Okay. But those tend to come from advocate positions.
Sure.
What are you hearing through the grapevine, or formally, with law enforcement?
Well, our biggest concern, with the Highway Patrol is public safety. It's, we're concerned about the increase in impaired drivers. And when we talk about impaired drivers, some people don't feel that they're impaired until you start to give them some divided attention tests, or they have an issue that comes up when they're driving. And then, they get involved in an accident and some innocent party gets injured or killed. And, those are the people that we're concerned about. We're concerned about public safety, people driving around under the influence of marijuana that are a danger to us that are not.
In the states that have legalized medicinal or recreational, I don't suppose it makes too much difference when you're behind the wheel, are there standards? Is there a bright line? With alcohol, it's there. Breathe, it is, it's not. Thank you very much, or you're coming with me kind of thing. Is there that standard? Is there that clarity for states with under the influence of THC?
They're working on that as far as the amount of nanograms that are in your system of marijuana. That's still up in the air. But, we have heard from some of the other states that, there's been an increase in emergency room visits, traffic accidents, people under the influence, all related to marijuana. So it definitely has put a bit of a burden on some of the services that are available to the county. When you're talking about medical services, services of law enforcement have definitely been stressed by the legalization or of both medical and recreational use of marijuana.
So if there is somebody under that influence, how do you know? How can you make an arrest, even today in California with the medicinal? At what point is somebody, and they're subject to incarceration or at least a fine for driving under the influence?
Well, yeah, and the way the
prescriptive
law
is, drugs, and there's a whole bunch of them that are in there, but how do you make that call?
Yeah, right now, obviously with 08, somebody's on the influence, you say, hey, if you're, 08, the presumptive law is that you're under the influence. But if you go back a little bit and you look at them being impaired, that's why we give you field sobriety tests to determine if you are an impaired driver and whether you're under the influence of a prescription drug, marijuana, alcohol, or a combination of any of those. If we can show that you were impaired at the time that you were driving, then we're going to arrest you for driving under the influence.
So what is impairment? I mean, that sounds like it's even a looser definition than 0.08.
That's where field sobriety tests come in. That's where our guys that are experts in identifying people under the influence, that's where those field sobriety tests come in. And, we do those tests and we determine based on our professional experience that that person is under the influence based on how they perform on those field sobriety tests.
So it's intuition?
No, it's experience. Yeah, well, but our guys are trained to identify those visual cues that they give a set of standardized field sobriety tests, and they identify those things that have been scientifically proven to show that you're under the influence.
The reciting the preamble of the Constitution?
We don't use that one anymore.
Well, I get being a hard nose. The difference between a 0.7 and 0.07 and 0.08 is probably negligible for most folks.
Correct.
Okay, 0.06 to 0.08 without the chemical tests. Can you tell?
Our guys.
Or kind of gets. It's still kind of a coin toss.
Our guys that deal with this every day are that good that they can identify that. Yeah, that person's under the influence, or they're really right there at the limit.
So, what is how or how does under the influence manifest itself with someone who let's use marijuana? What does that show? What does that exhibit?
Well, it's the totality of the circumstances. It's their driving behavior that we observe before the stop. It's their, what we observe after the stop, what they tell us. And we, collectively put all that together to determine whether you're under the influence or you're not. And that's, are you impaired? If you're weaving and, you weave in the other lane and almost hit a car, that's a sign that you're impaired. And so we use all those circumstances to determine if you're under the influence.
You're not going to like me at the end of this question.
Probably not.
The building department in the county has gotten lit up over the decades, as you know, based on different people's interpretations of the state law.
The standards. The Compassionate Users Act.
No. The building department.
Okay.
Okay. Houses.
Yes.
Nails. Saws.
Yes.
Remember. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to do this. You have to do that. You bring back a plan check. And somebody else looks at it and goes, oh, no, you didn't have to do that, but you have to do this. Back and forth and back and forth.
Yes.
Individual interpretation.
Yes.
Some have experience, some don't have experience. Some,
sure.
Okay. Now, the parallel argument. you got a rookie, let's say under 18 months officer, 20-year-old, or 20-year experience officer. Their standards, their intuition, their experience are going to be radically different.
Sure.
Without having standards to measure against, standards to measure against, how can the judicial system feel comfortable that they're both of the same level, that they can rely on both of those two individuals to the same extent to determine or to define under the influence?
Well, obviously the 20-year veteran is going to have more experience identifying people under the influence, but then that junior officer is going to have that experience as well because he's learned it in the academy. He's gotten some field training, and you know, most citizens can identify somebody under the influence of alcohol. You go to a party and you see somebody and you go like, you know what, that guy's had too much to drink.
No
and,
question, but we're not at the courtroom at a stand, somebody's life or resources at risk, saying, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that's where the officers, you know, rely on their training and experience, and they have the opportunity to be up there on the stand to testify as to what they've seen, what they observed, and you know, the prosecutors help us as well, and we hope that we present a good case that the jury believes that the person was under the influence while they were driving.
KINS News and Information Times 8:43. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 8:48. We're back to talk shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, you referenced a lot of the training that goes on for the officers, either as cadets or junior officers, or ongoing training also. Mm-hmm. What training is there for this development of intuition, this recognizing under the influence? Is it a module in the book? Is it something more serious? Is it less? What is the training that these folks go through?
So the local academy here at CR gets a significant amount of training in DUI, and that's both alcohol and other drugs, like I said, prescription drugs or other illicit drugs. And then the higher patrol, our standards are a little bit higher. I think we have almost twice as much as far as hours spent evaluating people under the influence, how to do that and how to properly document that. That's another key component of this, is not only seeing what you see, but how do you properly document that for court purposes and for going forward.
What about the mentally unstable? During the break, we were talking about the situation in McKinleyville. If that had been a motorist rather than a resident, are you guys equipped to handle that, or is that bringing out everybody and surrounding and dealing with it in a different rather than a parallel fashion?
Yeah, we would, you know, try to handle it as best we could, just like the sheriff's office did up there. We would rely on our allied agency partners to assist us. But, yeah, you know, just that whole incident is, you know, very tragic. You know, it's not something we want to see happen in the community, but there wasn't really a lot that could be done in that situation.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Go enjoy whatever it is you're going to go and enjoy.
I will.
I bet you will.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.